Okay, so get this.
Hmm?
You sent us some material about a real-life art heist.
Oh, wow.
But it's not a typical one.
Okay.
The thief didn't demand any ransom.
Huh.
Instead, they left a puzzle.
A puzzle. Interesting.
Yeah, so a Picasso painting.
Okay.
It's called Head of a Woman,
Mm-hmm.
and it vanishes from the National Gallery of Athens back in 2012.
2012.
And then this mysterious figure pops up online,
Okay.
and they say they'll return the painting if someone cracks their puzzle.
Well, that's certainly not the usual way these things go.
What do you make of that?
It's an unconventional approach, for sure.
Yeah.
Most art thieves, they're motivated by profit. They
Right?
want to sell the stolen piece,
Yeah.
even if it takes years to find the right buyer,
Right.
someone who's under the radar.
Yeah, it's not like you can just put it up on eGate with this
Exactly.
puzzle master. It's like they have a different agenda altogether, almost like they're playing a game, challenging someone to find this painting.
It's very strange.
And the sources you've given us suggest
Yeah.
it's not just about this one Picasso.
Oh.
There are stolen Van Goghs in here.
Okay.
There are whispers about this shadowy figure named Minzy,
Menzi.
and even hints of the Italian mafia.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be quite a deep dive.
It really is.
I'm excited.
Yeah. To fully understand this case, we need to start at the beginning
Okay.
with the heist itself.
Right, let's go back to the beginning.
So on January 9th, 2012,
Okay.
thieves broke into the National Gallery of Athens. They bypassed security systems, and they made off with three works.
Three.
Yeah, so there's Head of a Woman, the Picasso,
Right.
Stammer Windmill by Piet Mondrian,
Okay.
and a sketch by Guglielmo Caccia.
It's interesting that they took multiple pieces,
Yeah.
including that sketch,
Right.
which is probably far less valuable than the Picasso or the
Yeah,
Mondrian.
you're right.
What do you make of that choice?
It could indicate a few things.
Okay.
They might have just been opportunistic.
All right, just grabbing what they could carry.
Exactly. Or they might have known the layout of the museum
Oh.
and specifically targeted these works.
Interesting.
It's worth noting that the Picasso,
Yeah.
it held particular significance for Greece.
Oh, how so?
Picasso himself actually dedicated it to the Greek people
Oh, wow.
as a tribute to their resistance against fascism during World War II.
So it wasn't just about monetary value.
No.
It had this historical and emotional significance.
Absolutely.
Makes you wonder if the thieves even knew that.
It does make you wonder.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that most art thieves want to sell their loot.
Right.
But how do you sell a painting as famous as a Picasso?
Exactly.
I mean, it's not like you can just walk into a gallery
Yeah.
and say, "Hey, want to buy a hot Picasso?"
Right.
It's too recognizable.
Way too
Yeah,
recognizable.
you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Selling stolen masterpieces is incredibly difficult.
Right.
They're just too hot to move through any sort of legitimate
So
channel.
how do they do it?
Well, this is where those underground networks come into play.
Okay.
Think discreet auction houses, private collectors that are willing to turn a blind eye, or even criminal organizations with connections to the art world.
So you're saying this is a whole nother world
Yeah,
of
absolutely.
art dealing and.
It's a hidden world.
Okay.
A lot of shady
So we've
characters.
got this stolen Picasso that's practically impossible to sell.
Right.
And then this mysterious figure pops up with their online puzzle.
It
It's almost like they want the painting to be found.
is a bit strange.
Do you think they're genuinely trying to return it? Or is there something else going on?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Their motives are a complete mystery.
Right.
They could be a concerned citizen, a collector with a conscience,
Okay.
or someone with a more personal stake in this whole thing.
Well, the sources you sent us introduce us to Alex. He's a
Yes.
private investigator specializing in art theft.
Makes
And
sense.
Sophia, she's an art historian.
Okay.
And they team up to try and solve this puzzle,
Interesting.
hopefully leading to the recovery of the Picasso.
A good team.
Sounds like something straight out of a movie.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it's worth pointing out, they weren't the only ones on the case.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at least two other investigators were brought in,
Wow.
created a sense of
To
competition.
crack the puzzle first?
Exactly.
Oh, wow. Talk about pressure.
Yeah.
So, what were some of the initial clues that Alex and Sophia had to work with?
Well, they're working with a puzzle here,
Right.
so there must have been some kind of starting point.
Yeah, like where do you even begin
Right.
with something like that?
One of the first things they focused on
Okay.
was the date on the back of the stolen Picasso.
Okay.
It was inscribed 1939.
Okay.
Seems like a minor detail, but
Yeah.
in a case like this, even the smallest things can be significant.
Right.
They also had a photograph of another stolen painting.
Another
Yeah,
one.
Van Gogh's The Parsonage Garden at Newnham Inn,
Okay.
placed next to a book. The book was called Meesterdief.
Meesterdief.
It's the biography of this notorious art thief
Okay.
named Octave Durham,
Octave Durham.
who was known for his connections to the Italian mafia.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
The Parsonage Garden at Newnham? Wasn't that the Van Gogh stolen from the Singer-Laren Museum in the Netherlands?
That's the one.
And the method they used in that heist was remarkably similar to the one in Athens.
It was very similar.
Are we seeing a pattern here?
Possibly.
Or not? Okay.
And the inclusion of Durham's biography, it adds another layer to this whole puzzle.
Right.
Was it meant to mislead investigators, or does it suggest a link to organized crime?
Okay.
And don't forget that that security camera footage showing a white van near the National Gallery around the time of the robbery.
Okay, so we've got the date, 1939, a photo of a stolen Van Gogh next to a book about a notorious art thief and a mysterious white van.
Seems like a lot to go on, but it's also very confusing.
It sounds like Alex and Sophia had their work cut out for them.
They certainly did.
But before we get into their investigation, I think we should take a moment to appreciate the artwork itself.
Absolutely.
You know, we're not just talking about objects here. Yeah. We're talking about pieces of history and human expression.
For sure.
So this Picasso head of a woman.
Yes.
It's a portrait of Dora Maar.
Right.
One of Picasso's muses.
Yeah, she was very important to him.
Yeah, a significant figure in his life.
Absolutely.
And then the stolen Van Gogh, the Parsonage Garden at Nguyen.
Yeah.
It's a glimpse into his life during a specific period.
Right.
When he was seeking solace in nature and exploring his own unique artistic style.
His use of color during that time was just incredible.
Yeah.
So vibrant.
So we've got these two stolen masterpieces.
Yeah.
Each representing a unique moment in art history.
That's true.
Connected by this enigmatic puzzle.
It's quite a story.
Where does this international investigation lead Alex and Sophia next?
Well, this is where things start to get really interesting.
Oh, I can't wait.
Their journey takes them to the Netherlands.
The Netherlands.
Yeah, where they delve deeper into that Van Gogh theft.
Okay.
Seeking information from some pretty unexpected sources.
Well, let's not keep our listener waiting.
Right.
What happens in the Netherlands?
All right, let's dive in. So their first stop is the Keukenhof Gardens.
Okay, the Keukenhof Gardens.
Not just for the tulips, but for a meeting with someone who might have insights into that Van Gogh theft.
Someone who knows about the theft.
Yeah.
Isn't that a little risky?
Well, it was a calculated risk.
I guess.
But it paid off.
Oh, really?
They met with Gitz.
Gitz.
One of the thieves who actually stole the Van Gogh.
Oh, wow.
And he revealed that he sold the painting to a man named Raffaele Imperiale.
Imperiale.
Yeah.
That name rings a bell.
Does it?
Yeah, wasn't he connected to that Italian mafia group?
You're right. Imperiale ran this cafe in Amsterdam.
Okay.
But he was also a major figure in the Camorra.
The Camorra.
The Neapolitan mafia.
Oh, wow.
So we've got this connection to organized crime.
Yeah, this raises some interesting questions.
It does.
Was the Van Gogh theft simply about profit?
Hmm.
Or could there be a deeper motive?
What do you think?
Well, considering it was stolen alongside that other painting from Van Gogh's father's church.
Yes.
And then found in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seems like there might be more to this than just a quick cash grab.
It's possible.
Did Gitz say anything about why Imperiale wanted the Van Gogh?
He didn't go into specifics.
Okay.
But he did mention that Imperiale stashed the stolen Van Gogh along with that other painting from the heist in his mother's kitchen.
His mother's kitchen.
Yeah. In Castellammare di Stabia, Italy.
Of all places.
I know, right?
Talk about hiding in plain sight.
It's not what you'd expect.
No, not at all.
But they did eventually recover the paintings.
Oh, they did?
Imperial himself actually confessed to possessing them.
Oh, wow.
Hoping to use them as leverage.
Leverage for what?
A lighter sentence in another case.
No, so he was trying to cut a deal.
Exactly this tactic of using stolen art as a bargaining chip.
Yeah.
It's more common than you might think.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's almost like having this valuable hostage.
Right.
You hold on to the stolen art.
Yeah.
And then if you ever get caught, you offer to return it in exchange for leniency.
Exactly.
It's a risky strategy.
But
I guess it can pay off sometimes.
Can.
So what happens next in the investigation?
So Alex and Sophia, they follow this trail to Amsterdam's Red Light District.
Amsterdam's Red Light District.
Yeah, tapping into Alex's network of underworld contacts.
Okay, so we're going deep undercover here.
Very deep.
I can only imagine the kind of characters they must have met.
Yeah, some interesting folks for sure.
What did they learn there?
They picked up whispers of this figure named Menzi.
Menzi?
Yeah, who was rumored to be involved in the art world somehow.
Okay.
But no one seemed to know his real identity. Or what his role was in this whole puzzle.
Menzi.
Yeah.
We've heard that name before, haven't we?
We have.
Wasn't there some kind of connection to Sophia?
You have a good memory.
Thanks.
Menzi, Sophia, and this other guy named Dimitris Kefalis.
Kefalis.
They all attended the same university at the same time.
Kefalis?
Yeah.
Wasn't he the Greek art conservator who became a coffee trader?
That's him.
The one that Alex's friend, the police officer in Norway, mentioned?
That's the one.
Okay, this is getting very interesting.
It is.
It sounds like all these seemingly random people are starting to connect somehow.
They are all connected somehow.
Hmm.
And the investigation takes another turn.
Oh.
When they discover a connection between Kefalis and the theft of Leonardo da Vinci's Madonna of the Yarnwinder.
Okay, hold on. Another high-profile art theft.
Yeah.
And how is Kefalis tied to this one?
Well, it turns out that Kefalis was working as an art conservator.
Okay.
At Drumlanrig Castle in Scotland.
Okay.
Around the time of that theft.
Okay.
And get this.
What?
His university thesis was on that very painting.
Well, that's suspicious.
Very suspicious.
Writing a thesis about a painting that later gets stolen.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder.
It does, doesn't it?
But is there any concrete evidence linking Kefalis to the theft?
There's nothing definitive.
Okay.
But remember, we also have this mysterious figure, Menzi.
Right.
Who remains a complete enigma.
Yeah, we still don't know much about him.
Right.
At all.
And to complicate matters even further, someone attacks Alex in Amsterdam.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and they steal his notebook.
His notebook?
Yeah, containing all of his notes and leads on the case.
Wow, that takes things to a whole new level.
It does.
It sounds like they're getting too close to the truth and someone is trying to stop them.
It's possible.
And what about Sofia?
Shortly after the attacks on Alex, Sofia disappears in Paris.
Oh, no.
After receiving a mysterious phone call.
This is getting intense.
Very.
So they're both in danger now.
It seems so.
It seems like this puzzle is leading them into some dangerous territory.
It is.
What does Alex do?
Well, faced with these setbacks, Alex travels to London.
London?
Yeah, to seek help from an old acquaintance.
Okay.
Richard Brown.
Richard Brown.
Yeah, an art history professor.
Richard Brown. Now, where have I heard that name before?
Hmm, you tell me.
Wait a minute, wasn't he a fellow student with Sofia and Kefalis at that university?
Precisely.
Okay, and here's where it gets even more interesting.
Oh.
Remember how Kefalis wrote his thesis about the stolen Da Vinci?
Yes.
Well, Richard Brown also wrote his thesis about a stolen painting.
No way.
Paul Cézanne's View of Over Arras.
Another stolen painting.
Taken from the Ashmolean Museum in Oxford.
Two art historians.
Yeah.
Both writing their theses about paintings that were later stolen.
That can't be a coincidence.
It's a remarkable coincidence.
Yeah, to say the least.
Yeah, and this is where Alex's intuition really starts to kick in.
Okay.
He remembers that Richard seemed strangely evasive.
Invasive about what?
When asked about Kefalis.
Okay.
Claiming they hadn't spoken in years.
So is Alex starting to suspect that Richard might be involved?
He is.
Okay.
And his suspicions grow even stronger.
Oh.
When he spots Richard on his flight back to London from Oslo.
So he was in Norway?
He was in Norway.
Okay.
Possibly tracking Alex's movements, monitoring the investigation.
Okay, so now we have these two art historians with these suspicious thesis topics, this mysterious figure, Menzi, a dangerous attack on Alex Sofia's disappearance, and Richard Brown lurking in the shadows.
It's quite a cast of character.
Keeping tabs on Alex.
Mm-hmm.
This is like something out of a spy thriller.
It does have all the elements. Yeah, of a classic mystery.
And as Alex delves deeper, he starts to piece together theory, a possible explanation for why all these seemingly random events are connected.
All the pieces of the puzzle?
Well, did he leave us hanging?
Okay.
What's Alex's theory?
All right.
Who does he think is behind all of this?
Let's get to it.
And what about those stolen paintings?
Yeah.
Where do they fit into this puzzle?
We're about to find out.
So Alex suspects Richard Brown might be more involved than he's letting on.
Right.
What's his next move?
Well, Alex starts connecting the dots.
Okay.
And he realizes that the puzzle itself might actually be a clever manipulation designed to frame Kefalis.
For the theft of the Picasso.
Exactly.
But why go through all that trouble? Why not just steal the Picasso and keep it for himself?
Well, remember those reasons why people collect art?
You mean like social status, investments,
and then also just genuine love of art.
Right. Some people just really love art.
Exactly.
Okay.
So Alex thinks that Richard falls into that last category.
Okay, he's not in it for the money.
No, he doesn't want to sell the Picasso.
He just wants to have it.
He wants to possess it.
Wow.
Have it as part of his own private collection.
Okay, so by framing Kefalis, he achieves two things. He gets the painting, and he gets rid of a rival.
A potential rival in the art world.
So he's using this puzzle as a smokescreen.
Exactly.
A distraction.
A big elaborate distraction.
While he takes what he wants, it's devious.
Period.
But I have to admit, it's pretty brilliant.
That is a very clever plan.
Yeah.
It almost worked.
Yeah.
But Alex is a tenacious investigator.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to let go.
Right. He's going to keep digging.
He refuses to let go of those loose threads.
He's pulling at every thread.
Exactly. Oh, so he remembers Richard's evasiveness.
Right.
When asked about Kefalis, his sudden trip to Norway.
Right.
And the fact that both men wrote their theses about paintings that were later stolen.
Yeah, that's a little too coincidental. So it's all starting to make sense now.
It is.
Richard sets up this elaborate puzzle, leads investigators on this wild goose chase across Europe.
Yeah, all over the place.
While Kefalis takes the fall.
Right.
And meanwhile, Richard's sitting back enjoying his stolen masterpiece.
That was the plan.
It's like he's playing chess with everyone as his pawn.
He's a master manipulator.
So what happens next?
Well, Alex decides to confront Sophia.
Oh, with his theory.
Yeah, and he reveals that he's not only figured out the puzzle, but he also knows about her connection to Kefalis.
So he brings Sophia into the loop.
He does.
What's her reaction?
She's shocked.
Yeah, she disappeared under mysterious circumstances.
Right.
I mean, is she involved in this scheme?
Well, Sophia's conflicted.
Okay.
But she agrees to meet with Alex.
All right.
And she brings Kefalis with her.
This is going to be a tense meeting.
Very tense.
All right, so they all meet up.
They do.
What happened?
Alex lays out his theory.
Okay.
Explains how he believes that Richard is behind everything.
Uh-huh.
And the key piece of evidence.
What's that?
He traced the IP address.
The IP address.
From where the puzzle data was sent.
Uh-huh.
And it leads back to Richard Brown's computer.
Wow. So all those digital breadcrumbs lead right back to Richard?
They do.
Case closed.
Almost.
What do you mean almost?
Richard, of course, denies everything.
Of course he does.
But remember that accomplice.
The one who helped him get that Sazam for his thesis?
Yes.
What about him?
Well, it turns out he was also involved in the theft of the Picasso.
Oh, no.
So the police arrest him.
Okay.
And guess what they find?
They find the Picasso hidden away somewhere.
Just like those Van Goghs in Imperioli's mother's kitchen.
Hidden in plain sight.
You got it.
Where was it?
They find the Picasso, the Mondrian, and the Katcha sketch.
All three of them?
All three.
What?
Hidden in a secret room in Richard's house.
Okay, so the stolen paintings are recovered.
Yes.
The accomplice is arrested.
Right.
And Richard is exposed as the mastermind.
It seems like a satisfying resolution.
Yeah, it does.
But it doesn't quite end there.
What do you mean?
Remember that shadowy figure we mentioned earlier?
Yes, Maestro.
The one who orchestrated the whole pastiche?
Yes. And it also turns out he's Richard's uncle.
Oh, wow. What a family.
So Maestro gets wind of the police investigation.
Uh-oh.
And he warns Richard.
Oh, no.
Giving him time to disappear.
Before the authorities can arrest him.
Exactly.
He gets away. That's frustrating.
I know.
After all the twists and turns, the mastermind escapes.
It's a disappointing turn of events.
It is.
But at least the stolen paintings are recovered.
Yeah, that's something.
And Kefalis is cleared of any suspicion.
Yeah, that's good.
So there's some justice.
What about Sophia? That's one of the questions we're left with.
What do you mean?
The sources don't tell us whether she stayed with Kefalis or she ever worked with Alex again.
It certainly makes you think about the lasting impact of events like this.
How they can shape relationships.
Yeah.
And change the course of people's lives.
It's incredible, isn't it?
It really is.
We started with a stolen Picasso.
We did.
And ended up diving into this murky underworld of art.
It's a fascinating world.
Uncovering a web of deceit and manipulation and hidden motives.
You never know what's lurking beneath the surface.
What stood out to you as the most surprising aspect of all of this?
I think the audacity of it all.
Yeah.
I mean, Richard's scheme, it was so complex.
It was.
And it relied on this deep understanding of art history.
Right.
Criminal networks.
Uh-huh.
And human psychology.
It's a reminder that the art world, despite its beauty and allure, can be a very dangerous place.
It can.
With players operating in the shadows.
Yeah.
Driven by these motives that go way beyond simple greed.
Absolutely.
Well, you've given our listener a lot to think about today.
I hope so.
It's clear that art theft isn't just about grabbing a valuable painting off a wall.
No, it's much more than that.
It's a complex world.
It really is.
With its own rules, its own players.
And its own dark secrets.
Well, I hope this deep dive has inspired our listener.
Me too.
To look at the art world with a new perspective.
Yeah.
Appreciating not only the beauty of the art itself.
Of course.
But also the stories, the mysteries, and the human dramas that lie beneath the surface.
Well said.
Until next time.
Yes.
Keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep digging deep.
Yeah, 23.